SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Football Full Circle on this Saturday, July 16th, kicks off right now. I'm Ben Stevens, alongside the man known as the mastermind of the pigskin here on the Sports Grid Network, our college football analyst and guru, a walking encyclopedia of CFB knowledge. Joe Lisi is here in the mix as well. Six Saturdays from now, Lisi, we're not going to be previewing anything from a futures perspective. We're not going to be looking at off-season conversations. We're going to be talking actual football games on week zero, Saturday, August 27th. We're getting oh so close, my man, and I know you're excited.
I can't wait, Ben. And are we going to be talking about how Scott Frost did it yet again as an 11.5-point favorite to Patty Fitz and the Northwestern Wildcats? If Nebraska loses that game, you want to talk, I know you love about the Texas hype train, right? And how you love to burst that bubble. But going back to Omaha and those fans in Lincoln, what are they going to think if the Nebraska Cornhuskers lose that matchup in Ireland? Not going to be good to start the year.
I don't know if Scott Frost is coming back from Dublin. I think he's going to go in the Irish countryside, go to the moors, and think about life, because there is no chance there will be a positive reception at all as they begin year number five of the Scott Frost era in Lincoln as an 11.5-point favorite against Northwestern in Dublin at Aviva Stadium to kick off the college football season week zero, again, Saturday, August 27th. A 3-9 football team was Nebraska a season ago, but all nine of those losses coming by single digits, 4-1 against the spread as an underdog, and a win total this year at 7.5, where the over has a hefty amount of juice. That is the offseason hype train at all times in Lincoln, Nebraska, and that is the expectation the Cornhusker fan base has each and every year. Let's go back to the Pac-12, though, now, Joe Lisi, because that has been our focus for most of this opening hour, looking at where the Pac-12 stands for this upcoming 2022 season, not where it might be after 2022, or especially in 2024. Who knows what will remain of the Pac-12 at this point. But for right now, we know the teams that are slated to be contenders for a conference title. USC is the betting favorite at plus 150. Oregon, Utah, tied for the second best price at plus 300. Your long shot team, the UCLA Bruins, at 12-1. And then after that, Lisi, to round out the top five, is Washington at 17-1. As we go further through the list of the teams that still play in the Pac-12 for 2022, who outside of those top four teams in USC, Oregon, Utah, and UCLA do you think might have a realistic opportunity to cause some noise in the Pac-12 this year?
Well, I don't think they'll do it, but, you know, Arizona State is always an interesting program there. They get as much hype, I want to say, as the others. So Herm Edwards is there, hasn't really lived up to expectations. They've been able to get to bowl games. But I said it before, you know, has Herm Edwards elevated the program past where Todd Graham had this program 4 or 5 years ago? Todd Graham had a 589 winning percentage. Herm Edwards, 581. They lose their quarterback in Jaden Daniels, but get a Florida transfer quarterback, Emory Jones. So just from a national perspective, I feel like Arizona State, if they can make some noise and be a 10 or an 11 win football team, they have an opportunity. They don't have the defense, in my opinion, this year to do it, but we'll see how it plays out.
A 5-7 football team last year, Arizona State, actually make that 6-8. Trying to figure it out. We'll get to it. Welcome to our Sports Grid Radio audience here. The second hour of Football Full Circle, live on this Saturday, all across the grid. Sirius XM, channel 159, and our terrestrial radio affiliates as well. He is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. Looking at Arizona State, from a season ago. In fact, Lisi, in the regular season, I'm sorry to all the Sun Devils out there, it was an 8-4 football team that lost in their bowl game against Wisconsin, but did cover a 7.5-point spread. But last year, Arizona State was booked as a favorite in 10 of their 13 games. They were just 4-6. Their quarterback last year, Jaden Daniels, no longer is the quarterback in Tempe. That would now be Emory Jones making the move over from Florida to Arizona State. You mentioned it, Joe. Is this program in a better place now under Herm Edwards than where it was before he got on campus? I would argue no. In fact, they've been embroiled in so many controversies, NCAA violations and investigations, and at times a mass exodus from this program. And you have an 8-win football team last year in the regular season that now has a win total of just 5.5. So no, Lisi, I do not believe the Fear of the Fork Sun Devils are feeling all that great entering 2022.
No, they're gonna have to take the next step. And here's an interesting statistic in terms of Herm Edwards. The past three seasons on the road or on a neutral field site, they're just 9-13 in those type of environments. Last year, they were 2-4 on the road or on a neutral field site. They had losses to BYU and Wisconsin, respectively. Like you mentioned, they lost those four road games by 11.2 points per game. So unless they change that, Ben, things aren't going to change. And coupled with the fact, on the road last year, they rushed for 70 yards less per game. They need to fix that in 2022.
And they had that dynamic playmaker in Jaden Daniels last year who could run the football as well at the quarterback spot. We'll see what Emory Jones brings in his first year in Tempe, Arizona. We continue going around the Pac-12 conference up next here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're looking for value right now as our Pac-12 preview on this Saturday on Football Full Circle continues. He's Joe Lisi. I'm Ben Stevens. And Joe Lisi, you are a market mover, my friend. Your long shot dark horse pick to win a Pac-12 championship in UCLA, the fourth best odds in the conference. That's where they've been. But it was a 12-1 price earlier this week, now down by $2, 10-1. Joe Lisi and his wisdom always moving the market as we get ready for the 2022 college football season. So the top four odds, Lisi, in the Pac-12, USC, Oregon, Utah, UCLA. The next two prices following that, the teams out of the state of Washington. The Huskies first at 17-1, and then the Wazoo Cougars at 40-1 to win a Pac-12 championship. Obviously, the odds more in favor of UW entering 2022. But Joe, what's the outlook like for both of those teams from Washington State?
Well, I mean, you talk about quarterback play. Now, for Washington State, Jaden Deloria, their former starter that started in the bowl game, the Sun Bowl, against Central Michigan, he transferred to Arizona. But they get a transfer quarterback in Cam Ward that comes in, you ready for this, from Incarnate Word. He led the FCS school in one of the most prolific passing offenses in the nation last year with 47 touchdowns. He's already in as the starting quarterback because his former offensive coordinator under Dickert is now in Pullman right now. So they're expecting this offense to not miss a beat. They move and lose running back Max Borgi to the NFL. He's a blue-collar player, and they do get six returning starters on defense. But again, I think the schedule right now for Washington State, I think it's a little bit difficult, especially road environments. That's where I expect the Cougars to struggle this year. I think they're right in the area of about 6-6 this year, minor regression from where we saw last year. And for Washington, you know, I thought Jimmy Lake was a good hire a couple of years ago. He got potentially Washington in the Pac-12 championship game in the COVID year where they were 3-1. They had to back out and give way to Oregon. And that defense took major regression in terms of the front seven. They allowed 193 rushing yards per game. That's untypical of a top-ranked Washington defense. Very good in the secondary. We know about the off-the-field situation and the on-the-field situation with Jimmy Lake. They give way now to DeBoer. They get a great transfer quarterback in Michael Penix from Indiana. How healthy is he, though? We know that he had his injuries in Bloomington. If he could stay healthy, I think maybe he could lead this offense where they are more of an over team this year. But I don't think they get over the hump in terms of four wins for the Washington Huskies in 2022.
Kalen DeBoer, the former head coach at Fresno State. But before he goes to Fresno, California, he was the offensive coordinator. Where? Indiana, where his quarterback for a brief time was Michael Penix Jr. Now, if you don't know this about me, all you faithful viewers and listeners here for Football Full Circle, in certain areas of the Midwest portion of this country, I guess you could say, I am known as Big Ten Ben. And in Bloomington, Indiana, I am known as the founder and president of the Michael Penix Jr. for Heisman Fan Club. That is how I felt entering the 2020 college football season when Indiana had a record-breaking year, and frankly, probably should have represented the Big Ten Conference in the Big Ten Conference Championship game. Because in 2020, Michael Penix Jr. was sensational. He threw for over 1,600 yards in only six games before injuring his ACL. He had 14 touchdowns to four interceptions. There was optimism again for Penix entering 2021. Optimism for IU that they certainly did not capitalize on. Only five games last year for Penix, a 53.7% completion percentage, only throwing for 939 yards in total, four touchdowns, Lisi, to seven interceptions. So he has that familiarity with DeBoer now up in Seattle for the Huskies. 17-1 odds on Washington to win the Pac-12. Where do we think the Huskies will stack up in the final conference standings when all is said and done?
I think maybe sixth in the conference, Ben. I really think it's a major rebuild. We saw a lot of players transfer out after the Jimmy Lake situation. Dylan Morris was not the answer. They only averaged 98 rushing yards per game. And like I mentioned, giving up 193 rushing yards on the ground to opposing offenses, I think it's a major rebuild 2 or 3 years down the road. Michael Penix gives you the ability to maybe sustain some sort of momentum on the offensive side of the ball, but they lack weapons and speed on the perimeter. It's going to have to be Michael Penix in a lot of these ball games. That could be asking a lot in a new scheme, even though he's with his former coach. We have new talent around him, and he's coming off an injury as well. Didn't play all that consistent when in his last days in Indiana. You know, it wasn't 2 years ago where he chucked for over 400 against that Ohio State defense where they lost by seven in Columbus. So we'll see how it plays out. Again, I think he could put up some numbers, maybe improve his status entering 2023. But right now, major rebuild in Washington.
And that's been the key for Michael Penix Jr. over the course of his college career. First with Indiana, now at UW as well. How healthy can he remain? Many knee injuries for Penix Jr. Hopefully he is healthy enough to command Kalen DeBoer's offense in Washington. There was some thought maybe that leaving Fresno State, Jake Haener, the quarterback for the Bulldogs, would join his former head coach at Washington. Jake Haener originally transferred to Fresno State from Washington and maybe go back. He entered the transfer portal but then remained at Fresno State. And last year, Joe, we saw what DeBoer and the Bulldogs wanted to do. The 10th highest passing play percentage in the country at over 56% of their offensive plays coming through the air, and the 9th best passing offense overall, averaging better than 310 yards per game. So all of that ties into Washington now with a win total, Lisi, at 7.5, and the over has a little bit of juice at -125. If they're going to finish middle of the table in the Pac-12, right around where the odds stack up, 5th or 6th in the conference, do you think 8 wins still keeps them middle of the pack?
No, I don't see them getting to 8 wins. If they get to 8 wins in his first year, even with Michael Penix, that's a major accomplishment. Now, Washington, we know, in Seattle is a very difficult place to play, even when Washington is down. So they have the ability to clip some other opponents in the Pac-12. And Alex Cook, their big play safety, is probably the best player, one of the best safeties in the conference. That's all they have, though, on the defensive side of the ball, Ben. So I think, again, it's going to take DeBoer a couple of years to get his type of players there on the defensive side of the ball. I think they could elevate to maybe 5 wins. But if they get to 8, well, he should be mentioned for Coach of the Year this season.
That would truly be something pretty sensational in his debut year on campus as the head coach for Washington. By the way, last year, the Huskies just 1-5 against the spread when booked as a favorite. One of the 10 worst ATS marks as a favorite in all of college football out of the 130 FBS level teams a season ago. A win total of 7.5 for the Huskies. The over has that juice. A 5.5 win total for the Cougs in Pullman at Wazoo, and the under there, Lisi, has the juice at -125. That's where they stack up. And again, Washington is 17-1 to win the Pac-12. Washington State is 40-1. The next team listed with the 7th best price in the Pac-12 conference this year, Oregon State, 41-1 for the Beavs. And I know Lisi has many points to be made on the Beavers for 2022. Joe, on a scale of 1 to 10, quickly here before we hit the break, what is your optimism level for Oregon State in 2022?
Very high. I think they have the ability to be either a 9 or potentially, if things break, a 10-win football team this year.
I said scale of 1 to 10, but he might have just said 9 to 10 wins for Oregon State. We'll dive into that discussion on the Beavs up next on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
As we went to break, Joe Lisi, here on Football Full Circle, made a claim, a rather bold claim, on his outlook for Oregon State in 2022. Welcome back to Football Full Circle. Just a few minutes ago, right here on this very program, entering that most recent commercial break, Joe Lisi said that if it breaks right for the Beavs and Jonathan Smith in 2022, Oregon State might have the potential of winning 8, 9, maybe even double digit games in this 2022 college football season that officially begins 6 weeks from this Saturday. Joe, why is your confidence level so high for Oregon State in 2022?
Well, let me lay it out for you. I love what Jonathan Smith has done in terms of coming back to his old school. He's predicated a physicality in terms of offense and defensive line play, but it goes a little bit deeper in terms of this assessment when I look at the team. Experience on the defensive side of the ball, Ben. 8 starters return, including linebacker Omar Spates, one of the most athletic linebackers that can run sideline to sideline in the conference. He has an experienced quarterback in Chance Nolan, 19 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. And let's not forget, when you look at 2 wins under their belt last year, when we talk about the Pac-12 in terms of the FanDuel odds and the teams to beat within the conference, we mentioned Caleb Williams and his Heisman Trophy run, right, and USC, when we just talked about in depth about Cam Rising in Utah. Well, guess who beat both teams last year in 2021? It was Oregon State. They beat USC on the road as an 11.5-point underdog. They beat them by 17 points, and they went into Salt Lake City, and they knocked off the Utah Utes by 9 points or 8 points in that ballgame. So if we're looking at big picture right now, a 7-6 team last year that has a physicality on defense and a team that doesn't quit and can run the football consistently, you know what? Maybe as a dark horse, Jonathan Smith is playing with house money.
And when you think about what Oregon State has ahead this year, the Beavs have a win total of 5.5 right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook. The over has a considerable amount of juice at -180. When it's that much juice, Lisi, there is a clear expectation, almost a virtual lock, that Oregon State should win at least six games, if not more than that, making them bowl eligible for a second consecutive season. 3-2 against the spread as an underdog a season ago. 7-5 ATS, or excuse me, 7-6 ATS straight up, or just overall last season in 2022. So Oregon State, from a returning talent production standpoint, has the third most returners from a production level in the Pac-12 conference this year, including Chance Nolan as their quarterback. But as Lisi mentioned, on the defensive side of the football, 78% of their production from a season ago, that's top 30 in the country, returns. Chance Nolan has the keys to the offense, Lisi. 19 touchdowns, as you mentioned, last year in 2021. How high does he need to get in 2022 for Oregon State to go over that 5.5 win total and maybe cause a little disruption in the Pac-12 title chase?
I think if he gets into the area of about 27, 28, he'll be fine. The reason why he's been effective, and he's a mobile quarterback. He's not Lamar Jackson mobile, but he could break contain and make some plays outside the pocket with his legs. The running game with Damian Martinez is really the key to this offense because they were able to run the football in those ball games against Utah and USC. I thought they beat Utah on the road last year. They beat them at home in Corvallis, beat USC in the Coliseum. But, you know, if they're able to run the football and Chance Nolan can work off a play action, that means they're sustaining drives. They're keeping opposing offenses on the sidelines a la Caleb Williams and maybe Cam Rising in those type of situations. And now you rely on a defense that's very blue collar and, more importantly, pretty good in run support. They allowed around 150 rushing yards per game, but in the Pac-12, that's not that bad when we see some bad defenses. We just talked about Washington in terms of giving up a buck 93 to opposing offenses. So as long as they are able to do that and convert on third down situations, they have an opportunity to build off of seven wins. I mean, you look at that ball game last year in the bowl loss to Utah State. They were able to move the football, but turnovers cost them that ball game. So, you know, they could have been an eight-win football team last year, knock off the two best teams that are at least expected to win the conference this year in USC and Utah. Yeah, you have an opportunity to pull a rabbit out of a hat. It's all about finding value. When you have an experienced quarterback and you have eight starters coming back, that's enough to really punch a ticket, in my opinion.
Consistency on a year-to-year basis in college football is so, so key. There is optimism. There is expectation in many programs around the country. But when we've already seen it, and that same group is back and hopefully only gotten better through an offseason of workouts and spring practice and fall camp together, yes, there is that level of hope that you build on what you did a season ago. 5.5 for the win total, minus 180 to the over for Oregon State. That's six wins, but it's about getting to 7, 8, maybe even 9 wins now for the Beavs in 2022. Lisi, three teams last year in the Pac-12, ranked in the top 20 in terms of rushing offense in the country, led by UCLA, 219.7 yards per game on the ground. That was 10th best. 11th best right behind them, the Utah Utes, who we highlighted earlier, just over 219 yards per game on the ground. And 17th best in the country, those Oregon State Beavers, 211.5 yards per game on average last season. So the ground game is where Chance Nolan and that Oregon State offense build from. And that 41-1 price, Lisi, you alluded to it just a few moments ago. It's about finding value. There is a reason the Beavers are 41-1 with the 7th best odds to win the Pac-12 championship. There is not an expectation for them to do so. There is not a high likelihood that Oregon State is in that Pac-12 title game playing USC or Utah or Oregon. But at 41-1, Joe, is it worth just a small sprinkle where we stand here in the middle of July?
I think it is. Now, I think you're also seeing the 41-1 value. Why is it so high? You look at the out-of-conference games. Boise State, Fresno State this year. So two bowl teams that obviously they struggle with the Mountain West Conference and Utah State in the bowl game. So assuming they get through both of those, they have very difficult road environments. They have to go on the road to Salt Lake City in Utah. I believe they go on the road to Arizona State. So that's why you're seeing them pegged at a 41-1 value. But that shouldn't take aside or take away from the fact that this is a very good ball club that can run the football. They're disciplined and they limit mistakes. Again, it comes down to the quarterback play as well. An experienced quarterback that hopefully will progress under Jonathan Smith this coming season. I think it's worth a shot.
There's only one early look ahead line available right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook for the Beavs. It is that final weekend of the college football season. The rivalry game this year in Corvallis against their in-state foes in Oregon. And Oregon State is a 7-point home underdog. Lisi, there's four teams we haven't truly discussed in the Pac-12 so far on this show. And they have the longest odds to win a Pac-12 championship. Cal right now is actually tied for the fourth longest odds at 50-1 with Arizona State. Stanford is 60-1. Then as we keep going through that board, Colorado is 150-1 at last check. And Arizona brings up the rear. The longest odds out of all 12 teams in the Pac-12 right now, 500-1 to win the Pac-12 championship. As you look at the bottom feeders, if you will, the bottom four teams in the Pac-12, Lisi, who do you think has the best year this upcoming college football season?
Well, it's tough because they all have problems and they all have weaknesses, and we'll touch on them in next segment. I will just say from a defensive perspective, I buy into Cal and Justin Wilcox. They're always disciplined. They lose Chase Garbers, but as long as they can play disciplined defense, they're going to be in ball games. They were 5-7 last year, had a very close ball game against TCU that could have made them bowl eligible. So I'll bank on Cal, but keep your eye out for Arizona with Jaden Deloria because he's definitely a game changer. He's a mobile guy. He's a blue-collar kid, and he willed that team to a bowl appearance last year against Central Michigan in Tucson. He could give that team some explosiveness. And as a long shot, if we're looking bottom feeders, I would say Arizona and Cal have the best shot. Not sold on David Shaw. We could get into it in the next segment.
We certainly will, because when you talk about these four teams at the bottom half of a conference, a great way of looking at what they should do from a competition standpoint in the upcoming season is what they did last year when booked as an underdog. Because when you're not expected to win football games, if you're keeping them close, competitive throughout, in covering numbers, then you hope that those close football games that you cover because you only lost by a certain amount of points start to turn into wins in that win-loss column as well. Now, Cal was tied with UCLA for the best ATS record in all the Pac-12 last year in conference games at 6-3 against the number. California was 4-1 against the spread when booked as an underdog last year in 2021. So maybe those close wins as an underdog when they covered numbers, the close losses, I should say, start to turn into wins in 2022. And Arizona, also pretty good as an underdog a season ago. We'll look at the teams toward the bottom half of the Pac-12. Who has a shot, maybe not of contending for a conference championship, but maybe causing a little havoc within the conference, pulling off some league upsets, and maybe going over a short win total, like 3.5 for the Buffs, or only 2.5 for Arizona for the upcoming 2022 college football season. We're rolling strong here on Football Full Circle on this Saturday, live on Sports Grid. Just six Saturdays left, including this one, until the opening of the college football season, week zero, Saturday, August 27th. We get you set up next on FFC.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Long shots in the Pac-12 conference. Is there a chance for the likes of Arizona or maybe Stanford or Cal or possibly even Colorado, not to win a conference championship, but maybe to cause a little chaos on the way to a Pac-12 title in the conference this upcoming season. That's the focus right now. And Lisi, we ended the last segment by discussing odds and what your against the spread record was as an underdog a season ago. Because if you're not booked with a realistic shot of winning the football game outright, yet you're covering numbers, keeping games competitive, maybe you can flip the script in the upcoming season and start winning those close football games that you lost by a small margin just a season ago. So we'll focus on Cal and Arizona for that exact fact. Cal last year, as an underdog, 4-1 against the number, keeping it close against the likes of Washington, against the likes of TCU, pulling off some upsets last year outright as well. And Arizona, Lisi, went on a run last year to begin the ending portion of October through November that was incredibly impressive, covering in four straight games as a 17-point underdog against the Huskies. They only lost by five. As a 22-point underdog on the road in the Coliseum against USC, they only lose by seven. Booked as an underdog against that Cal team we were just highlighting by a touchdown, they win outright by a touchdown, and then back that up the next week against Utah. A 24-point underdog against the Utes, the reigning Pac-12 title winners, and Arizona only loses by nine. So Arizona, despite the odds being stacked against them, Joe, did stay competitive last year.
Yeah, with Jed Fish, their first-year head coach, taking over for Kevin Sumlin, right? The progression happens at the end of the year. You could look at the correlation between Arizona and even Kansas with Lance Leipold in Lawrence last year, right? In terms of they played much better against the Big 12 opponents in October and November. They got that victory in Austin against the Texas Longhorns at the end of the season. So typically in a first-year scheme, the players start to get it at the end of the year, and then the biggest progression happens from year one to year number two, respectively. And I mentioned Jaden Deloria in terms of Arizona, and they could be a much more explosive offense with him at the helm. So I think to go over their 2.5 win total, it seems like a doable bet for me. I would put money on that. And then when you look at Cal as a whole, why do you like Cal, Joe? Well, I like them because you look at the run support. They only allowed 137 rushing yards to opposing offenses, right? They were plus 10 in turnover margin. They get a Big Ten transfer quarterback in Jack Plummer. That's coupled with running back Damian Moore. And if as long as they can run the football, Damian Moore averaged 5.2 yards per carry. If they could sustain drives, that goes into the recipe of what Justin Wilcox wants to build in terms of Cal Berkeley. And they can win football games and exceed their win total. So that's how you have to break it down when you look at some of these bottom feeders in the Pac-12.
Lisi, I'm scrolling through right now the FanDuel Sportsbook, looking at the win totals for teams at the FBS level of college football. That 2.5 number for Arizona, 2.5. Yes, the over has the juice at minus 160, but it's tied for the lowest win total in all of college football. Kansas also has a 2.5. The over is juiced at minus 145. Vandy has a 2.5 win total. The under has the juice. But we're talking three wins for Arizona to go over this number of 2.5. It is something they were unable to do, Lisi, a season ago. But they covered a lot of numbers. And again, that's the hope that they can back that up then in 2022, taking those competitive games and making them victories, not just covering numbers and staying within margin, but having a positive margin when it comes to that final score. Now, that's the expectation for Arizona and Cal. Good last year as an underdog. We're not supposed to win games, but at least they kept it close because good teams win and great teams cover. Not a great team a season ago then, Lisi, by that thought process. The Stanford Cardinal, booked as an underdog in 10 of their 12 regular season games a season ago. One of the worst cover percentages as a dog last year in all of CFB, just 2-8 against the number for Stanford. Why the regression for David Shaw and the Cardinal, a team that used to be featured as a contender in the Pac-12 conference?
Yeah, they lost their identity, Ben. What did you think about the Stanford Cardinal when David Shaw took over for Jim Harbaugh? It was the ability to pound the rock between the tackles with Christian McCaffrey and Bryce Love and then sustain drives and work off a front seven that was very solid in run support and, more importantly, opportunistic, right? You want to know the statistics for the Stanford Cardinal from 2017, fast forward 5 years. In 2017, the Stanford Cardinal rushed for 202 rushing yards per game. You know what they rushed for last year in terms of conference play and, more importantly, in their 12 games? 86 rushing yards per game. In 2017, they allowed 165 rushing yards to opposing offenses. Last year in 2021, they gave up 235 on the ground. They lost seven conference games by 19.2 points per game. And David Shaw, since 2019, is just 11-19 in the conference. He's 90-37 overall. I put him on the hot seat as one of my coaches that needs to get over the hump. He hasn't recruited on the offense and defensive lines over the past 5 years. And even though Tanner McKee is there, this is a tough ask. I'm selling Stanford in 2022.
So are the odds, Joe. A 4.5 win total where the under has the juice at minus 140. It makes sense for a team that was 3-9 straight up last year. And again, a dismal 2-8 against the number. A money burner, the Stanford Cardinal, a season ago. To echo what Lisi said right there, the sixth worst rushing offense in the country for Stanford a season ago, around 86 yards per game. Lisi, there were seven teams out of 130 FBS college football teams. Just seven of those 130 averaged less than 100 yards per game on the ground last year in 2021. And Stanford was part of that group of seven. That is not Stanford football. The I formation, Andrew Luck under center, and building off that play action game with the likes of Christian McCaffrey and Bryce Love. And you think of Kevin Hogan taking over for that. Even Davis Mills now, Joe, that looks to be a starter in the National Football League at the quarterback spot for the Houston Texans. We are a far bridge away from that Stanford program to where we are right now, entering 2022. 4.5, again, the win total for the Cardinal, and the under has the juice at minus 140. Joe, that's a pretty comprehensive Pac-12 preview right there, my friend, looking at all of the teams from the top all the way down to the bottom and where you can find their best value spots all throughout the odds market right now in this offseason.
Yeah, that's what it's all about, Ben, right? Breaking down the teams in terms of the strengths and weaknesses from the previous season. That's all we have to go off of. We don't have projections because we're not dealing with professionals. The consistency is not there. So to expect these young players who are just coming in off the street, some of them from high school, to maintain that consistency is very difficult. You can only go off of what you know from the previous year. There is no preseason, and that's what separates college football from the NFL. So if these strengths or weaknesses start to develop, let's say in the first month of the season, that's how you can project wins and losses, not just straight up, but against the number throughout the season.
Absolutely so. And there's some early look ahead lines that are already out there. Yes, a lot can change from where we are right now in the middle of July before we even get to the beginning of a season, and certainly can change for some of those conference matchups that already are booked as well. I mean, we have lines for Oregon, Oregon State the last week of the year, Oregon and Utah the week before. It is not going to look the same as it does right now on paper by the time we get to the middle or later portion of November, but it starts to be the way you can handicap your process to find those spots on teams you love, like Utah for me, UCLA for Joe Lisi, the market already moving in favor of Lisi on UCLA. 12-1 to win the Pac-12 just a week ago. Now 10-1, the fourth best price. I will say, because we were rather critical of the Stanford Cardinal, and maybe rightfully so, one redeeming factor for David Shaw entering 2022, 88% of his team's production from a season ago is back. That's third most in all of college football, only behind Bowling Green and BYU. 94% of those offensive productive snaps last year for the Cardinal are back, the second most in all of FBS-level college football entering 2022. So, Lisi, we're going to end today's show on Football Full Circle in our comprehensive Pac-12 preview, the same way we pretty much began, looking at the love for USC, not only in the conference marketplace, but on the national stage as well. The Trojans have the fifth best odds to win the national championship at 20-1. They are the favorites right now to win the Pac-12 conference at plus 150. A win total of 9.5. The over has the juice at minus 120. There is an expectation that USC is favored to win at least 10 games this year. So let's play that picture out. If USC is a one-loss conference champion of the Pac-12, will the Pac-12 conference, Lisi, finally get a team back into the college football playoff?
Now, you asked me this during the week on the radio show, and I said, I don't know. Who's the loss against? That's what I need to know. Is the loss as a 17.5-point favorite against David Shaw and the Stanford Cardinal like they did last year in week number three? If so, I'm going to say no. I know college football, the media, the experts love Lincoln Riley, but if they lose a game that they're not supposed to, I can't put them into the college football playoff. I'd much rather put in a one-loss Big 12 champion over a Pac-12 champion because they haven't stepped up in recent years. So we'll see how it plays out. I would say that if we're looking at big picture, if it is USC, because of the tradition and the hype surrounding Caleb Williams and Lincoln Riley, most definitely they'll put them in the college football playoff this year because we haven't had a Pac-12 team in since 2018.
Which could help. That narrative could certainly help for the college football playoff, the premier program, and the status that USC has, certainly as they are about to embark on the Big Ten Conference in 2024 and all that Lincoln Riley presents in Southern California. However, that same idea that the Pac-12 hasn't been to the CFP in the past five seasons could harm the Trojans or any other conference champion hailing out of the Pac-12. Why do I say that? Because the margin for error there is very, very minimal. If there's a one-loss Big Ten champion and that team is Ohio State or Michigan like we saw a season ago, they're going to get a bid to the college football playoff. If it's a one-loss SEC team, they're probably getting a bid to the college football playoff. Even a one-loss ACC champion, especially if that team's name is Clemson, they're going to get a bid to the college football playoff, which leaves some of the other Power 5 conferences at this moment, like the Big 12, and like the Pac-12, on the outside looking in. They need to make up ground. We'll see if they can do so. Maybe it's not a one-loss USC Pac-12 conference champion, but a one-loss Utah Pac-12 conference champion cashing that plus 300 ticket. And as Lisi laid out earlier, let's correlate the markets once again, Joe. 80-1 for Utah to win a national championship.
Yeah, that's great value, Ben. And a team that can play with the big boys, they're built for the long haul. And if, as long as Kyle Whittingham and the crew get that victory week one against Florida, they'll have a ton of momentum throughout the season.
Certainly set the table from a very early juncture for the Utes in 2022. A couple more minutes left here on Football Full Circle. Come back and join us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
As you look around right now in the middle of July, in these summer months, you can start to feel it. The hairs stand up on the back of your neck. The goosebumps start to build a little bit more as well. Six Saturdays from this very time, the 2022 college football season begins in Dublin, in Ireland, between Nebraska and Northwestern. Part of a great week zero slate on Saturday, August 27th. And of that week zero slate, Lisi, Nebraska and Northwestern is the only early look ahead line we have available at the moment. On the FanDuel Sportsbook, right now, the Huskers, an 11.5-point favorite against the Cats with a total that stands at 50 and a hook. 11.5 is a big number for a Nebraska team that only won three games this season ago. Is it too big to start the season for Scott Frost and the Cornhuskers?
I think it is too big, and I think it could only go south, because if you take the 11.5 or lay the 11.5 with Nebraska, and it's up from 8.5 when FanDuel originally put it out about 2.5, 3 months ago, you know, if they fall behind in this ball game early on, there's going to be a lot of finger pointing, a lot of uncertainty for Scott Frost and that new staff, even with Mark Whipple there. And even though they might have their best quarterback in Casey Thompson in over a decade, until you do it, you got to do it. And that's the problem with backing Nebraska in that type of situation. You take the points, you really, you're playing with house money, in my opinion. So that's why I would take Northwestern in terms of this week one matchup, because you know what? They better start fast. Couldn't do it last year with Adrian Martinez, and they lost week number one, really set the tone. They lose this ball game, Scott Frost is out.
Nebraska was supposed to start the season in Dublin last year in 2021 against Illinois. That game rescheduled to Champaign. The Huskers, a touchdown favorite, lost outright by 8. That's what they'll have to work against to start the 2022 campaign. 6 Saturdays from today, it all begins. He's the mastermind of the Pigskin, Joe Lisi. I'm Ben Stevens. Thank you for joining us here on Football Full Circle. We're getting close to a new college football season.